Welcome to World Cafe, Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye. Jebloy Nichols was born in Wyoming and raised in Missouri. He lived in Austin and New York City before making his way across the pond to London. Through his very impressive ear, Jeb has managed to fuse the sounds of his many travels into his own music. He's embraced punk, dub, country, and soul into his work. These days, Nichols prefers the quiet to the stimulation of the big city. He lives on a remote farm in Wales. Not surprisingly, Jebloy Nichols' new life makes its way onto a few of the songs on his latest album, Days Are Mighty. Jebloy Nichols joined me on the cafe to talk about the CD and perform some of the tunes.
The records I love the most serve as some sort of conversation, you know, either between the artist and the band members or the artist and their intended audience, or, you know, in things like Hear My Dear, Marvin Gaye, you know, a conversation between him and his estranged wife, or, you know, or Coltrane, you know, A Love Supreme, a conversation between him and his, you know, God, whatever that was. Right. You know, and I think that this record was a conversation between myself and three people that I've been playing music with for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, and I wanted it to be, we were saying, you know, the kind of conversations that take place in the kitchen, you know, rather than the conversations that might take place in church or in school or something.
Is where you're living more conducive to doing visual art, or are you more drawn to that where you are?
Well, no. I think, you know, where I live is in mid Wales, and it's, you know, it's very remote. Remote from humans, anyway.
How remote? Where are you?
Well, are you familiar with the geography of mid Wales?
No, there's a, yeah, that's not going to help, is it?
The nearest town is Adfa. it's where we live. We have 10 acres, which may not sound big on American standards, but a nice chunk of land there. And we have no near neighbors for miles and miles. And to one side of us is the kind of Welsh uplands from, you know, miles and miles and miles. And it's, you know, the road ends about half a mile from our house, and you have to come down a lane. And it's, you know, we get no passing friends or trade, which is nice. I mean, and, you know, it's all good and bad. You know, you sell some good things and buy other good things. So, you know, leaving London was nice, but I still have a very vibrant kind of cultural base of friends that live in London, and you know, I miss that sometimes, but then I got other payoffs by living where I live.
The new album is called Days Are Mighty, and there's actually a song kind of about, I understand, was inspired by coming home from a trip to London called My Kind. The title track, Days Are Mighty, explain where that comes from.
Well, actually, I wrote the chorus, Days Are Mighty, just came to me when I was in America once, and I'd been down to see my dad in southern Missouri, and there was just that feeling of how, you know, long days can be there, and not in a bad way, but just in a sort of, you know, in an endless way of, and then I'd always had that chorus of Days Are Mighty, and one day I was back in Wales and speaking to a friend who was going through some estrangement from a partner, and he was just saying, oh, you know, the worst thing about it is that days just go on forever now, and I never, you know, and the song came just very quickly out of that.
Good one. This is the title track of Jeb's new album.
Well, here comes the morning sun, right on time, sneaking through my window, and I wake up to find that you never came. Was it just another lie? Did you know all the time? Were you laughing while I cried? Days are mighty long or any. Mighty, mighty long, mighty long, I said. Days are mighty long around here.
Such a kind of classic Jeb Loy Nichols tune. That's the title track of the new album called Days Are Mighty. You know, it's funny. Every time I talk to you, you slip into the conversation about how punk changed your life. And I think a lot of that happened when you were in your teens living in Austin. You got to see some incredible shows and things like that, and then later moving to London. But I have to say, sitting where I'm sitting, that is what I hear least in your music. And I'm curious as to how you see that affecting you. Is it the politics of it? Or?
Well, I think it was just the sense that... I think the major thing is that, you know, I often think in terms of my career, you know, I've recorded songs that weren't that good. You know, I've written songs that weren't that good. I've, you know, made albums I probably didn't need to make or done shows that weren't fantastic. But the one thing I can, you know, hand on my heart and say that I've never done is I've never rocked. You know, and that's that for me is the biggest legacy of punk, you know, was that was the end of a certain kind of dinosaur-y big rock thing, you know, that the Pistols particularly were going to save us from that. And then you had this whole explosion of things that pointed the way, like people like the Slits, the Raincoats, Pill. You know, they pointed this way to a post-rock music. And, you know, and a lot of people from that have continued that, you know, people like Wobble and things, you know, world music and things. And I just think that's the biggest legacy for me, is that we don't have to rock, we don't have to posture, we don't have to do all that nonsense of what was hugely and grotesquely oppressive up to that point. Now, obviously, you know, the punk didn't win the war, you know. I mean, it didn't even win the battle, to be honest, you know, looking back on it. But, you know, that kind of rock is bigger than ever, you know. I mean, it's come back with a vengeance and it now rules the world, you know, and that kind of corporate music. But, you know, for me, that's really what punk did. It was just a way of saying, look, you know, if country's what you like, if reggae's what you like, if whatever you like, you know, do it. But, you know, don't inhabit that awful, faceless corporate rock world.
That's interesting because, from my perspective, the DIY aesthetic is really kind of on the rise.
I think it is again now. Yeah, yeah. Particularly with the collapse of the music industry. You know, I think now it's letting things back in. Yeah, definitely.
Well, with what you're just saying, were you? How it's funny that your first solo album came out on Capitol Records, you know, a major record label. Mm. Were you? Did they make you uncomfortable there, or were they welcoming?
Well, I don't think they made me uncomfortable. I think I was doing a good enough job of that myself. You know, I think I was made myself hugely uncomfortable, and it was no one's fault but my own. You know, I suffered under the illusion that people often do, that they can change things from the inside, and it was a ridiculous and absurd notion that I could. And, you know, we made a record that wasn't bad, and, I, you know, there's good things about it, and I really loved the record, and I had some good times, but it wasn't a hugely happy time for me, no. Mm.
Jeb Loy Nichols is our guest, and looking back a little bit there, this is how I cleverly segue into, there's a regret song on here called 25 Years Too Late, which I just love. And this one seems like it must have been kind of easy to write.
I mean, once you had the first, I was talking, actually this one came out of being in Nashville and talking to Donnie Fritz, a great Muscle Shoals songwriter. And that was a phrase that I think we'd said something about, you know, I think we were actually listening to Otis Redding or something like that on the radio. And boy, that, you know, that's a great song, and you know, everybody loves that. And then somebody had said, well, you know, they love it 25 years too late, and that's how that song came about.
Piece of paper in my pocket, a list of things to do. Number one says, better call her up, apologize, that's number two. But the paper, it's old and faded now. Weeks turn to months and still I wait. time it just seems to slip away, and now it's 25 years too late. Yes, it is, it's 25 years too late.
Jeb Loy Nichols, that's 25 years too late. There's a song on here called Poor Little Barn. Is that inspired by something on your property, or?
Well, it's inspired certainly. Yeah, we live in a poor little barn. I have to say, a barn conversion. But we also have a barn that we've never had enough money to really fix up. And the whole of the countryside, everywhere you go, is littered with beautiful old barns. And for me, it's just a song, you know, like all the best are, of regret and failure and imminent obsolescence and all that stuff, yeah.
Pretty little barn that I pass on my way back from town, see it start to sway every day. I pray that it won't fall down, for the tall grass grows around it, and the winter winds have found it, and they'll blow it to the ground. I just hope I'm not around. Poor little barn, pretty little barn, pretty little barn in your pasture.
It's Jeb Loy Nichols, and it's interesting to hear you talk about that song. You know, obsolescence, failure, decrepitude, and you're right. A lot of great songs are written about regret and that mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But I'm sitting here listening to it, and I'm saying, wow. But isn't that kind of the? I mean, you don't get out of the world alive.
No, exactly.
And it's kind of the as you age, you kind of come to terms with that. Mm. And you've always spoke very excitedly about your years in London when you first arrived there, and how exciting that time was, and the fact that everybody thought they could change the world.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
I think you start to realize as you get a little bit older that you're not going to change the world. You know, the world. You know, I always have this problem with people that want to save the planet. You know, let's save the planet. Well, the planet doesn't need to be saved. The planet was here before us. It'll be here years after us. We're a blip. You know, we're just a nuisance to the planet. And, you know, if you look at the two greatest writers, for me, my two biggest influences, let's say Samuel Beckett and Hank Williams, you know, that's what the two of them dealt with in all of their writing. You know, Beckett, this great quote of fail again, fail better, you know, and that's kind of what you do in life is fail. And then I was talking to someone about Hank Williams, you know, the great thing about I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry was that word could, you know, because I'm so lonesome, you know, it's all in the balance. You know, if it had been a blues song, it would have been I'm so lonesome I'm crying, you know, or if it had been a soul song, it would have been I'm so lonesome I'm really going to cry now. But with Hank, it was that genius selection of that one word of I'm so lonesome I could cry. And you don't know if he is or isn't, but that's, you know, the genius.
That's really, really interesting. And you can look at this album in that way. There's regret all over it, but there's, you know, a perseverance.
Yeah.
All that.
Well, I mean, you know, you got no choice. You got to, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, as always, for making the music and the art, and it's good to see you.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Jeb Loy Nichols, his latest album is called Days Are Mighty, and it's on Compass. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia and xpn.org. To hear Jeb Loy Nichols' full performances, visit worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.